Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on 2 purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit Dick's.com/scorecardplus for details.
You are listening to Houston's longest-running sports radio morning show, The Bench with John Granato and Lance Zierlein on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John and Lance.
Has there been any moments where he's maybe surprised you with what his opinion is on one of those things?
No, not at all. Before we ever get to the game, we've talked about those situations and we kind of know when it comes up what's going to happen. And if there's any kind of disagreement or whatnot before, you know, shoot, I call a timeout and make sure we're on the same page and in those kind of decisions and make sure we do the right thing in those critical type situations.
Well, that's before the game, but he's actually David Culley on the headset with Nick Caserio and Romeo Crennel during the games. And joining us right now is Mark Ross. Among other things, he was vice president of player evaluation, 11 years with the New York Giants, won 2 Super Bowls with the Giants. And right now he is also at the XFL, the executive VP of football operations. But we're going to talk NFL with him. Mark Ross joining us here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Mark, welcome to the show.
Oh, thank you. My pleasure.
We appreciate you being here. Did you hear Coach Culley? Now, Coach Culley also, we talked about it yesterday in his press conference. Coach Culley talked about that Nick Caserio, the general manager, is on the headset giving him advice in two-minute situations and whatnot during the game. Have you heard of this before anywhere, Mark?
I worked with Coach Culley, David Culley, for 8 years in Philly, one of my most favorite people I've ever worked with, so I'm going to be as diplomatic as possible, but no, I've never seen or heard of that. You know, the only time you heard about it, you know, with the Ray, I think a lot of people are confusing with the Ray Farmer situation in Cleveland when he was the GM, where he was using his cell phone to call down there, which is illegal. You know, the headsets is different. That's when you're in there with the coaches listening in. You know, when I was a young scout, I used to, preseason games, I would go in there just to see what was going on, what those coaches were doing and learn. I wasn't on the headsets, just with them, but I have absolutely never heard of a general manager being on the headsets during a game with a coach. It's quite shocking, number one, that it's going on, but two, that, you know, it was verbalized publicly like that as if it was just a normal standard operating procedure for a team.
Mark Ross joins us right now, and that's, you know, Mark, I think that's the part that's shocking. It's shocking but not shocking. Nick Caserio came from the Bill Belichick school of autocracy, and, you know, one guy is in charge of the entire thing. I think there was a, and I don't know how you want to answer this, and I'm not trying to make a comment, you know, about Coach Culley at all, because everyone's talked about what a great guy he's been, and we have no problem with him here in Houston. However, it does feel like, you know, he was hired so that Nick Caserio could really have his fingerprints all over, and I mean all over, the team and the rebuild of this team.
Yeah, I think when at first it was shocking when he first got hired, of course. You know, David's been around a long time, and, you know, resume speaks for itself, but just to be a head coach, was that really the guy for it? So I think when he got hired, there was a lot of questions about that. But, you know, now you're seeing it in real time. But, yeah, it's not – when he took the job, it probably may have been discussed. Like, hey, I'm going to be on the headsets with you doing this. Okay, so now it's going through. But, really, it's the next hire. You know, if David makes it through this year, the year two, it's, okay, what about the future of the organization as far as you're interviewing head coaches and they know this and you're asking the GM, are you going to do this? And – yeah, I'm going to do it. Okay, well, thank you. I'm out the door. Or whoever they hire next and they say it's okay to do that, then are you really getting the best person, the most qualified person, or just the person that's going to fit underneath this structure, you know, of the GM calling the shots? I mean, you know, coaches have lots of help on the sideline, in the box, helping them with things. but they work for the head coach. You know, that the head coach kind of is the guy. And when you're, if the GM is the boss there and the head coach is listening to the GM, I just don't think that, especially on game day, that's the way to operate an organization, operate on game day.
Mark Ross, NFL.com analyst right now, and also the EVP, Executive Vice President of Football Ops for the XFL. Mark, have you seen a tougher situation than the, I mean, there's a plus player on all, a couple of plus players, Tunsil, who's never there, and then Brandon Cooks, and you got a situation where you come in and you don't have any first or second rounders. What do you think of the way that Caserio put this together and the situation that he faced when he walked in the door?
Well, of course, it was a tough situation because of what O'Brien had done as far as trading away all the picks and not having any money. So, you know, Nick definitely did step into a tough situation. But, you know, that's, I always tell people, hey, they take the jobs. They don't have to take the jobs. So they take the jobs. They know what they're getting themselves into. And part of the selling point is, hey, I can fix this and I can make this organization right. So I never really feel bad for people for the situations they put themselves in. So he knew what he was getting himself into at this point. You know, they've been a competitive team in some stretches of games, but for the most part, you know, this is still one of the worst teams in the league, and it just the future is the concern. You know, are they going to get better? What is on the horizon for this team as far as can they draft their way out of this? Can they sign their way out of this? And it just looks right now that it'll be a long road. And but again, that's what the people who are there signed up for, Nick and, you know, all the other executives that are a part of this.
Mark, do you I work with Mark. I do some stuff. I've enjoyed my time with Mark before COVID. We only had a year where we got to do some stuff. And you're still with NFL Network. You just took a position where you're going to be running an XFL team when they're back on field and operational. I want to ask from a media standpoint, your time now getting to sit back and look at things from a wide lens, a macro view of all 32 teams. Do you think that has really helped you, your time away from the game, to see the game in a different way, or is that a little overblown?
Oh, 100%, Lance. You know, it's when you're with the team, I mean, that's all you're focused on is just surviving every day with your team and doing all you can to make that team better. And you're just so – you just have blinders on, or you're just thinking about who you're playing at next week. That's all you're really thinking about. And you're just so – it's so – stressful, you know. People don't understand how stressful working for an NFL team is. You know, and every day it's wins and losses every day, especially in the markets I've been in, New York and Philadelphia. So now with the network, you can take a step back and really enjoy football and find the love for the football again, as opposed to just being stressed out every day and seeing the entire league. You know, knowing all the different teams. And not just your own team or whoever the free agents are, but yeah, definitely seeing the bigger picture and the trends and the coaches and what's really going on in the league in a way that your eyes are open and you're not stressed out about it and you can really take it all in and absorb it all.
Mark Ross with us here, ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. How do you like the way Caserio's handled the Deshaun situation, waiting this thing out? And you know, we'll see whether or not, you know, criminal charges, whether or not Deshaun can get through this thing and get to another team. But so far, what do you think about the way Caserio's handled it?
Yeah, I think he's handled it really well. And again, another situation he stepped into, which is a no-win situation, honestly. And when all that shit, obviously it was a big topic of discussion for everybody in the media about each step of the way. Is he going to get traded? And we got the rumors coming up, and I will be, you know, ready to go on air with people, production meetings, and saying, look, y'all, this is not happening. I don't care what intel you guys are getting. This is not happening because of, number one, the first thing you got to do, the owner's got to say, yep, we're going to take this situation on. And I just couldn't foresee any owner wanting to do that. Then you had the football side of it where you had to have the draft capital and the finance, you know, the salary cap space to do it. So when you put all those things together just on the football side, there was only a couple teams that actually do it. And then when you say, the ownership has got to say yes. I just could not see that. So I think holding on to him was the right decision, but I think it might have been the only decision as well, despite all the media, you know, scuttlebutt that he was going to get traded. So there's a lot still to be worked out there, as you guys know. And, you know, this could go on for a much, much longer time until all the legal stuff gets worked out.
Let's say they do get some picks and some big picks for Deshaun Watson. How long is this rebuild for when are the Texans? Give some people a little bit of hope of how long this could, the quickest it could possibly take to get back to decent football.
Yeah, well, as we know, the quarterback is key, and that everything revolves around that. And Lance, I don't know how much you've been digging into these guys this year, but let's just say it does get resolved like right now for this draft. Just in my quick view of these guys, I've been watching them a little bit. I just don't see a franchise changer in this year's group. Lance, if you agree or not.
I don't either. I don't either.
So, okay, now you're pushing out to another year, and who knows what's on the horizon for the next draft class. So, unless Davis takes a giant step in these next couple games and next season, you might be in the same boat talking about the same things at this point next season.
Bryce Young has got, he's got 2 years in, so he's a possibility for after next year. So we'll see what happens there. He looks like he probably is going to be that number one overall pick. Mark, I want you to listen to something here. It's really important to us here in the city of Houston. We actually did have some good football at one point.
Butler in the backfield from the 2 yard line. Option. PJ throws end zone complete. Touchdown. Roughnecks. Cam Phillips with his third touchdown catch of the night. One more time.
Look at that. Mark, that's John's being self-serving because he's the play-by-play announcer for the Houston Roughnecks.
The champions of the XFL.
Oh, man. John, they didn't have a championship game. They're the champions
of the XFL, Mark. Are we going to get a team back here? Are we going to get an XFL team back here in Houston?
I'm bound to secrecy right now. I'm running all the operations for the XFL this year, but we'll see. I think there was a very good support network. I think that the Houston team was looked upon very favorably by the people that were there before.
The champs. We were the champs, Mark. That's what we were. Okay, 5-0 champions, and we need our we need some good football back here. So we need the XFL back here, Mark. Okay,
I know there you go.
You're pulling those strings. I know that. Okay, so
it's gonna be a little tougher building an XFL team. Is a little different. It's like, and this is no disrespect to the XFL, but the guys who recognize unpolished gems and the best street free agents, and it's a different type of, it's more back end modeling of a roster. So that's stuff that you've done as well, Mark. I mean, that's what every executive and personnel director has to do, is you got to recognize what NFL starting talent looks like, what backup talent looks like, what developmental talent looks like, and what, guys who can get you through a season look like. It all factors into what you're going to be doing now.
Yeah, you're right. It's not just your initial 53 that you start the season out with and your starters. I mean, you're going to 60 maybe. I mean, look at what's going on with the Ravens. I mean, they're playing with a whole backup. Do they have a starter that's still out there? And that's the part of building a team and with depth. And, there's never depth between going from a Pro Bowl left tackle to your third left. I mean, that's just not realistic that the guy's the same. But, you just have to try to get as many guys as possible, discover those guys who can get you through or have some potential. And, that's the beauty of scouting. And those all the good scouts I work with, those guys that are on the road grinding every day, they love that challenge of finding the under-the-radar guys. And there's no such thing as sleepers anymore, but just those guys that, they really love, that they thought had potential that may have been a little bit undervalued at the time. And, that's what the XFL is going to have to do, find those kind of second, third-tier guys and hopefully develop those guys for our league, but also, the shot at the NFL as well. That's where everybody's trying to get to, obviously.
Well, and the last time the XFL was around, at first they didn't embrace that. We don't want to be a minor league for the NFL, but and then they were like, hey, look at all our guys that went to PJ Walker and Donald Parham and guys that have gone to the league. That's great. We have a good brand of football here.
Yeah, I think we're going to embrace that now as far as it to be. And I've worked for the NFL, obviously, for all these years, and even in the league office, consulting with them. So embrace the synergy with them. Embrace anything that we can do to help them. Embrace, hey, if our guy makes it there, we're going to champion that. We're not an adversary in any way. We're a collaborator with the NFL 100%, and that's what we're going to pride ourselves on. And I think, and as you mentioned, in years past, they tried to make it seem like the NFL was the enemy. And I just think football synergy between all football is good football for everybody.
Yeah, and the XFL proved there are a lot of guys on the street that can play football. So there was talent in the league. I don't think there's any question about that. It was fun. It was a lot of fun, and we're looking forward to it again, Mark. Really, really looking forward to the XFL back here in the city of Houston, and I'm glad that you just told us that that's going to happen. We really appreciate that.
well, I think the way you
put that in. Mark, thanks.
I can't be bribed, though. I love some good bourbon. Okay. You can get my address offline if you need to send.
I'm going to have Brian Michael Cooper call you, okay? He ran this thing down here, and he did a hell of a job. We put together – there was a hell of an organization he put together down here. So I'm gonna get him your number, okay?
Yeah, and let me know if y'all need anyone on headsets to the coaches. I'd love to have some input if you guys are going to do that in your league. Yeah.
Yeah.
We're always looking for innovative ways for our new league here with the XFL. So maybe we'll do that. We'll just have the GM to head coach interface there going on every game. I might jump on there too, man. Start hollering at the coach.
You didn't know that was possible. It's possible, Mark. Well, you didn't think it was possible. It's possible.
I got a big picture of Bob Stoops or June Jones going along with that, okay?
Yeah. There's plenty of times I wanted to call down on the field and say some things, but just couldn't do it. But
you were Tom Coughlin, right?
Yeah.
I was with Andy.
Yeah,
Andy,
good luck with that.
For 8 years and then Coughlin for 11.
Stay off the headset.
So you better
Mark.
stay off those headsets, that's for sure. Mark Ross.
Yeah, we'll try.
Mark, we appreciate you joining us, and man, we can't wait till the XFL gets back.
Thanks,
so
Mark.
Good luck with all of that, Mark. Thanks for hanging with us this morning.
Y'all take care.
You too. That's Mark Ross right here on ESPN 97.5 and 92. See, Lance, we got the XFL back. I think he just said that.
He didn't say that. I mean, that's what I heard.
Maybe you heard something different.
They don't have to say anything. Why would the XFL not come back to Houston's got a great stadium. We've got great weather in the spring. The fans came out and enjoyed. Like, it's a nope. That should be the first team. That should be the first city that gets a team.
You should, absolutely. The champs. Why would you not go back to the champs?
You got to stop saying champs.
The champs repeat. Yeah, okay, so that's what we got to have.
Spring is sprung, and big savings are in full bloom at Menards. Visit Menards Garden Center for everything you need to get your garden growing. Choose from hundreds of beautiful, colorful flowers, lush trees and shrubs, and everything in between. Menards Garden Center is back in bloom. Stop in today to get your garden on. Check out fresh deals happening now at Menards.
Save